Well, everybody, welcome to episode 329 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. At Legacy Realty, we combine the best of both worlds, the local expertise of over 75 agents in the Ankeny Metro with innovative power of LPT Realty, one of the fastest growing nationwide brokerages. Our agents have the flexibility to tailor their services to meet your needs, and they are equipped with advanced marketing strategies to help you achieve your goals. Looking to buy or sell? Our local agents know the Ankeny market inside and out, and they're here to guide you through every step of the process. Whether you're moving across town or across the country, we have the resources to help you succeed. Legacy Realty of Iowa, local expertise, national strength, your real estate advantage. All right, we're going to talk a lot of boys basketball today, and I also have a guest from Legacy Realty coming in a little later. I'll also be visiting with Ankeny Centennial coach Matt Delger and one of his top players. But right now, my first guest is the head coach of the Ankeny Christian Academy boys team. He has guided the Eagles to a 6-1 record thus far, including a 3-0 mark in the Bluegrass Conference. He is Jay Neihardt. Coach, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Dan.
Hey, you bet. Well, your team was coming off a 17-8 season a year ago when you reached a sub-state final before losing to a very good Madrid team, but you had to replace three key starters from that squad, Hayden Davis, Austin Lundberg, and Aiden Beck, combined for about 32 points and 13 rebounds a game. So you certainly had to replace a lot of production. You know, did you feel like you had some guys waiting in the wings, though, to step up and fill those spots?
Yeah, we did. And we had 10 guys return from that team. So even though we're missing those seniors dearly, we had 10 guys who had already had some experience from last year and guys who have been stepping up. Senior Isaac Venema is our second leading scorer, and he's really improved from last year as a first-time starter to now being on his second year and really has worked in the offseason to work on his game. And then a guy named Marcus Peterson also. He's our leading scorer at 14 points a game. He was a sixth man last year, and he really transcended throughout the season, and he hasn't he picked up right where he left off. So I knew some guys were ready to go, and I knew the ability that guys had, and we missed those guys from last year, but we really have continued on where we left off.
Well, you guys are off to a great start. Your six wins have come by an average of nearly 47 points, so that's obviously allowed you to go deep onto your bench, you know, and get some experience for a lot of the guys, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been great, and that's what we wanted. We want everybody to be able to get minutes throughout the year, and because that's just going to help us down the road when we come to situations where we need to have someone come in, whether it be foul trouble, whether it be things aren't just going the way we hope for. But yeah, each guy is getting, I think, somewhere between 15 to 20 minutes a game, which is great, which shows you that we've got a deep bench. It's not just a starting five that does it all.
Well, your team's only loss came at Pella Christian, 70-52 on December 8th. You guys fell behind 21-6 at the end of the first quarter in that game, and then basically played Pella Christian even the rest of the way. Do you feel like your team learned some things from that loss, though?
We did, yeah. And you know, a big outlier was they were really tall. They had a couple of guys who were 6'6 or taller, and you know, they were really physical with us. And that's something we knew we needed to work on, even though we're, you know, our tallest guy is probably 6'3. We've got to be more physical. We've got to have that desire to box out. So, yeah, it was a good test for us. We put them on that schedule because we knew that was going to be a good outlier of what we need to do throughout the season. So, yeah, we learned from it. And we were glad, you know, that second half, we really were competitive with them after we struggled in that first quarter.
Well, you mentioned a couple of the guys, and I do want to talk about some of the individuals on your team. Junior forward Marcus Peterson does lead the team with an average of 14.4 points a game, and he's shooting 70% from the field. He poured in 22 points in a win over Seymour on December 9th, and then matched that total a week later in a victory over Moravia. You know, now he's raised his scoring average from last year by about, you know, 8 points. So, you know, he's really shown a lot of growth, hasn't he?
Yeah, Mark, he's a mortar. If you come in and watch our games, you'll see him just running around the court, just kind of crazy at times. But sometimes you say, you know what, that's Mark. Let him do his thing. And he has a knack for getting to the hoop. And he's done a really good job of even working on the give and go, which is, you know, old school stuff. But say, hey, Mark, you get that ball up, you get right back. And he's got a couple dunks on the season, which has been pretty fun. And it's just been fun to see his growth over the last year.
The other guy you mentioned, Isaac Venema, senior, he's another guy who has taken a big step forward. He's averaging 13.1 points and a team-high 6 rebounds. He also leads the squad with 7 blocks. You know, to what do you attribute his improvement? Did he just develop a little more physically?
He did. And, you know, Isaac's always a guy who's in the right spot at the right time. And I told him, you know, as long as you put yourself in the right spot, good things are going to happen. I know this summer he worked really hard with our coaches and just working on his finishing at the rim. And sometimes it's just seeing that confidence of seeing the ball go through the hoop is significant. So, yeah, Isaac's done a really good job. He has a great desire to get better each and every day. And it's just been fun to see that hard work pay off for him.
And then you have a third guy averaging in double figures, and that is junior guard Jed Rude. He's averaging 12.7 points and 5.7 rebounds. Now, he started all 24 games as a sophomore and was the team's leading scorer, nearly 13 points a game. So I'm sure you expected him, you know, to be kind of a steadying influence for this team, didn't you?
Yeah, it's been great to see Jed again improve. You know, as a sophomore being the leading scorer, that's not usual. But he's able to just get to the hoop really well. He's a guy who can go inside and outside. He can do it all. And you know, as I was talking to him about this upcoming season, what he wanted to do, it was the rebounding that he said he really wanted to improve. So it's fun to see he's almost 6 rebounds a game as a guard. That's really great. And he just does it all. If you see the stat sheet, he's going to be a guy, points, rebounds, assists, and just has an even keeled attitude throughout the night. So, yeah, all three of those guys have been doing a great job. And, you know, hopefully that makes it really tough on the other opponent when you can't just focus on one, but you got 3 guys all in double figures.
And then senior forward Tyson Fincham is another guy who started a lot of games last year, and he's one of the team co-captains along with Lucas Erickson. Tyson is averaging 7.9 points, and he leads the squad with 17 steals. You know, he's one of those glue guys that just does a little bit of everything, doesn't he?
He does. We can put Tyson anywhere we want. He's about 6'1", not real tall, but he could be a big guy if he wants to. If we need him to do guard, he will. He just has a great attitude. You know, say, hey, we need you to do this. He say, yes, sir. He's ready to go, and yeah, and that's part of why he's a captain this year. We know we can count on him everywhere, and he's going to keep his team going and, you know, have the right attitude. So really appreciate his senior leadership this year.
All right. And then the only starter that we haven't mentioned yet is the guy sitting here with us today, and I'll be talking to him here in a little bit. Sophomore guard Cade Clarkson is averaging 6.9 points, and he leads the team with 32 assists. Now, he played in 20 games as a freshman off the bench last year, but, you know, you've obviously asked him to take on a bigger role this season as the guy who kind of initiates the offense. Have you been happy with his progress?
Yeah, I think he's done pretty good. You know, one thing about Cade that is just really great is that he's a great communicator, and that's what you need as a point guard, is being able to orchestrate the offense. And even though he's a sophomore working with some juniors and seniors, you know, we want him to know, hey, you're the guy who's going to get things going, you're the guy who's going to make sure everything's are organized. And he's really stepped up to the plate with that. He's really a scoring guard, even though he's about 6 points a game, but he's done what we've asked him to do. And I think he's going to have some games where he's going to go off for 15 to 20 points, but what's really exciting is that he's almost at 5 assists a game. He's had a couple assists or a couple of games where he's been at 7 or 8 assists and just running the role that he has been asked to do. So, yeah, it's been really fun to see him go from really being a JV guy last year to now a varsity starter and stepping up to the plate.
And I mentioned earlier that you've been able to play a lot of guys off the bench, and you certainly have some key reserves. Junior Hudson Davis is averaging 8.4 points, and he's made 11 of 19 three-pointers. Junior Andrew Moore is averaging 5.7 points, and he's contributed 16 steals. So do you feel like your depth can be a key to your success going forward? Because, you know, those guys are contributing a lot.
Yeah, and we like to tell our guys that. Like, every single guy can step up to the plate whenever we need them. It doesn't matter. And I feel like this team has done a great job of accepting their role. We've got the big guys who know how to do the pick and roll. We've got guards who can shoot it. We've got guys like Andrew who can come off the bench and get us 2 or 3 steals, and Hudson who can knock down threes. Everyone knows their role, and I think each guy even knows what their teammate's role is. And so when everyone is all in on doing what we've asked them to do and they've accepted their role, only good things are going to happen. And so just been a fun summer that we had as we've gone through different leagues and tournaments that we've been part of, and just gradually have come right into this season, and we're looking forward to this second semester starting up.
Let's look ahead now to the 2026 portion of your schedule. You guys will get back on the court on January 5th with a game at Madrid. And, of course, that's the team that ended your season a year ago. The Tigers are currently 6-3, and they boast one of the state's top sophomores in Jevin Severson, who is averaging nearly 23 points and 9 rebounds a game. You know, so that's going to be a big test for your team, isn't it?
We're looking forward to it, and we look forward to it every year. We know that Madrid has a great history, really, over the last 5 years. They've been to state 3 or 4 times, and they've got some quality players who end up moving on. A couple of guys are up at Waldorf College right now. So we know what to expect, but this is exactly what we want at this time of the year, Sarah. It's a good way to just check, okay, where are we at? Where are some of those things that we need to work on? And we're ready to go. We're already starting a game plan here this next week, which has kind of been nice for a Christmas break that we can really focus in on that game.
Now, Severson, a guy that you almost have to double team because it's probably hard to slow him down with just one defender, isn't it?
He is a big guy, and I think football might even be his number one sport. But yeah, he's a smart player. He can put his head down and, you know, really create some space. So we're going to throw a lot of guys at him. You know, it could be one specific guy at a time, could be a couple double teams. We know that he's going to be a focal point, but they've also got a couple other guys that can shoot it from the outside. They're kind of figuring out their way after having an incredible team last year, and I think they're only going to get better. So both teams are going to be ready to go. It's going to be a competitive environment, and it's going to be a fun atmosphere to be in.
Well, then you'll have to turn around and travel to Mormon Trail the next night for a big conference game against the Saints, who are 3-1 in the league. Now, along with you guys, Lamoni is the only other unbeaten team in the conference right now at 4-0. You will have a showdown at Lamoni on January 16th. So do you think that, you know, that that's a game that could decide the conference title, that one against Lamoni?
Yeah, and we would like to approach every game as, you know, a conference championship. You know, we just came off that big win against Moravia, who over the last 5 years, it's either been us or them who've ended up being the champions. But you know, Mormon Trail, they knocked us out a couple of years ago, and we know we need to be ready for them. Lamoni, I know, has got a couple of guys that have really been having good seasons, and going down into their environment is always tough. So we're going to preach every game is the most important game, and we know that those two coming up here shortly are going to be big deciders for the conference championship.
And I know there's a lot of season left. You probably don't want to look too far ahead, but I'm sure the team's ultimate goal would be to get to the state tournament. This is the last year that the tournament will be held at the Casey Center in Des Moines before it moves to Hilton Coliseum in Ames in 2027 for at least the next 5 years. You know, do you feel like this team, you know, has the potential to make it to state?
Yeah, absolutely. We've been building for this for a while. You know, in my coaching career now, I've experienced, you know, the first round and the second round. 2 years ago, we went to the district championship. Last year at Substate. So we really feel like this is the next year. Each of the guys around the team have had a taste of that with those teams that we've had good success. And I think really that's what everybody wants. We're working hard for it. You know, we have put teams on our schedule that have been to the state tournament just in the last couple of years for those reasons, so that we know what it's going to take. And we just tell the guys, hey, when we work hard, when we play the right way, we're going to put ourselves in a good position. So hopefully the body of work that we do here over the next 3 to 4 weeks will give us a good seed for the districts, and then we'll just take care of the rest.
All right, Coach. Well, thanks a lot for coming today. I appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
You bet. All right, well, my next guest is a sophomore guard for the Eagles, and like I mentioned earlier, he is averaging 6.9 points and a team-high 4.6 assists per game. He is Cade Clarkson. Cade, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Thanks for having me. Good.
Hey, you bet. Well, I'm going to touch on some of the same things that I talked about with Coach because I wanted to get your thoughts as well. Now, coming into the season, you guys did have to replace those three starters who were such a key part of the team's success last year. You know, do you think this might be a little bit of a rebuilding year, or were you confident that you and some other guys, you know, were ready to take on some bigger roles?
I think we knew that we had the ability to be just as good as we were last year and even better. And yeah, I think we kind of knew that we could go further than we did last year. And because it's the same guys, same exact 10 that we had last year, besides the guys who left. So we knew what we could do.
Well, you did see action in 20 games last year. You averaged about 3 points a game and went 12 of 36 from 3-point range. Do you think getting a little bit of experience as a freshman helped prepare you for the starter's role this season?
Yeah, for sure. It helped me a lot. It prepared me just to kind of see the competition that I would be seeing this year with the more playing time. And yeah, helped me a lot.
What has been the biggest challenge for you in moving into the starting lineup?
Probably just struggling with confidence. I feel like sometimes since I'm a sophomore, I don't really feel confident shooting the ball, but I've definitely shot a lot better this year than I did last year. But yeah, confidence, I probably struggled with that the most.
Well, you guys opened the season with a 56-43 win over Pleasantville on December 2nd, and that's actually been your closest game of the season thus far. But you guys jumped out to a 28-12 lead at the end of the first quarter in that game, so you were clearly ready to play. You had 6 points and 5 assists in your starting debut. So you think that win kind of showed you and your teammates what you guys are capable of?
Yeah, for sure. We started that game really good. Our intensity was great. We played well as a team, and that for sure showed us what was possible when we just played hard and played together.
Well, after beating Diagonal on December 5th, you guys then suffered your only loss 3 days later at Pella Christian. We talked to the coach about the slow start that your team had that night, but you guys did settle in and played them pretty even over the last three quarters. You went 3-5 from behind the arc and led the team with 11 points that night. So do you think you guys were able to take some positives away from that game?
Yeah, for sure. Besides that first quarter, we were really good. They outscored us, 21-6 in the first quarter?
I think so, yeah.
And they ended up beating us by 18, so they only outscored us by 3 the rest of the game. Yeah, we played really good. Our intensity was a lot better. Our defense was a lot better. But yeah, that showed us that we can really compete with anyone, I feel like.
Well, for the season, you're shooting over 45% from three-point range. You've made 10 of 22 attempts. Now, I know back when I played in the day, I like to shoot from that left corner. Do you have a favorite place to shoot from on the court?
Probably the left wing. I feel like that's my best spot. And yeah, probably my best spot.
But pretty much any open shot, right?
Yeah, any open shot.
Well, you guys have a lot of players who can shoot the three-pointer. We talked with Coach about Hudson's shooting ability coming off the bench. And Jed is another guy who has been dangerous from behind the arc. He's been 8 of 17. Tyson and Marcus have each made 5 threes as well. So does that make your job easier, knowing that you've got a lot of teammates who can knock down those shots and you've just got to find the open guy?
Yeah, for sure, because the defense has to be worried about everyone, because pretty much everyone on our team can shoot. So, yeah, it helps us a lot knowing that everyone can let it fly.
I'm sure you guys have had some time here to practice over the break. What has the team mostly been focusing on?
A lot of conditioning. I missed our last two practices last week, but yeah, it's been a lot of conditioning, a lot of shooting drills to just kind of get us back in the season form, yeah.
We talked with Coach about your upcoming game at Madrid. I'm sure you're really looking forward to that one. Now, you saw a little bit of action at the end of that sub-state game last year at the Knapp Center. What do you remember about that game?
I remember we kept it close for the first half, and then they kind of pulled away in the third, fourth quarter. But I remember, yeah, there were some tears shed after that game, and we just want to get our get back.
Was that a pretty cool experience to get on the court at the end of the game, even just for a couple minutes?
Yeah, it was. Playing at Drake's Arena, that was a really fun experience, yeah.
Well, what do you think are going to be the keys for you guys to beat Madrid?
Intensity, for sure. We got to, lock down Jevin. He's a great player. We got to play together and not try to play individual, obviously, and just play hard, yeah, play good defense.
Well, we talked to Coach about your goals. Do you feel like this is a team that can contend for the conference title and potentially make it to state?
Yeah, for sure. When we're playing our best, we're a really good team and a hard team to beat. And, yeah, we can definitely make it there.
All right, Kate. Well, thanks a lot for coming in today. I appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you.
You bet. Welcome to the Yankee Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Revive opened in 2017 and is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skin care, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. Well, my next guest is a realtor at Legacy Realty, and she's been a frequent guest on the podcast. She is Rhonda Dix. Rhonda, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Dan.
You bet. Well, it was about a year ago when yourself and many other agents made the move over to Legacy Realty, and that's also when Legacy took over the sponsorship of our podcast. And I want to thank you, Kyle Clarkston, and the entire team over there, because you guys have just renewed your sponsorship for another year, and we really appreciate your support. It's great to have you back.
Well, thank you. We're excited. Obviously, the brokerage is growing, and we're adding new agents as we come to a year end. It seems like there's some movement, obviously, in the real estate world too, and realtors looking for their next home. So yeah, we're excited to be welcoming a lot of new agents.
Well, when you look back at 2025, what sticks out in your mind as far as the real estate industry? I know there's always, some ups and downs in your business, with the mortgage rates and everything, but were there any big changes or developments that have affected the way you do your job?
Not really. I mean, day to day is pretty much the same, but it's just how you navigate and how you educate your clients to deal with, you know, the interest rates and getting comfortable with the fact that, you know, we're not going to see 2% and 3% interest rates probably ever again. But again, just educating people in terms of the process. And I think people are getting more comfortable. We're also seeing over this past year more inventory coming on the market, which is slowing the process down a little bit more. So buyers have the luxury of thinking about their purchase a little bit more and maybe having more to pick from. And sellers are also having to adjust and realize that, you know, the prices that they were seeing for homes, you know, during the pandemic, it's not really the same. So they have to have realistic expectations as well.
We are looking ahead now. Do you see anything on the horizon that you haven't already mentioned, you know, for 2026 that people need to be aware of if they're looking to get into the market?
You know, interesting enough, this past week leading up to the holidays, we had unseasonably warm weather, which I'm missing that today. So I really think that was getting people excited about spring. That's going to be here before you know it. And again, just like buying and building a home, kind of equate it to, getting back into the gym or setting resolutions for the new year. There's some preparation that goes into that. And, buyers need to be connecting with realtor professionals as well as lender professionals and, start seeing what their buying power looks like. So again, you want to be ready and not just assume in the springtime that you're ready to go. I mean, there's a little bit of prep work that goes into it.
What's the inventory like here in Ankeny right now?
Inventory's up. I mean, I know people say that it's not, but there is stuff to pick from. You're seeing days on the market a little bit longer than what people are used to. But at the same time, there was a slight pause for the holidays. But I just closed a property up for the end of the year yesterday and also accepted a few offers right before the holiday as well, too. So I think people do want to get a jump start and not necessarily compete with a buyer pool come spring.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you if you're very busy over the holidays, but I suppose if you have clients that are in the market looking for a place, I mean, if they find what they're looking for, they don't want to slow down, right?
Yeah, and I think I mentioned it once before, too. We've seen a crazy number of cash buyers out there, and, people are in control of their finances, and if they're ready to go, if they see what they like, they're making quick decisions.
All right, Rhonda, well, thanks again for coming in today. I appreciate it, and I'm sure I'll talk to you again here in the new year.
Sounds great.
All right, my next guest is in his first season as the head coach of the Ankeny Centennial boys team, and he guided the Jaguars to a 63-45 victory over Valley on December 19th for their first win of the year. Centennial will take a 1-4 record into Friday's game at home against 6th-ranked Waukee. He's Matt Delger. Coach, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Yeah, Dan, thanks for having us.
Hey, you bet. Well, before we look ahead, let's recap a little bit how your team got to this point. Your squad opened the season on December 2nd with a 64-21 loss at Waukee Northwest, which is currently the number one team in Class 4A in the rankings from the IHSAA. After a rivalry loss to a solid Ankeny team, you guys then suffered a couple of close losses to number 3 Dowling Catholic and at Urbandale. You know, I don't know if your holiday schedule could have been much tougher because, you know, both Northwest and Dowling are currently undefeated. And I was at that Urbandale game and I was really impressed with their squad. So considering how inexperienced your team was, you know, coming into the season and that difficult opening schedule, you know, you probably expected to have some growing pains, didn't you?
Yeah, we did a little bit, but real happy with how we've been taking steps forward each game and just kind of learning from each performance and then, you know, trying to get better at practice every week.
I'm sure you saw some progress in those games. You know, do you think the guys gained some confidence from those games, even if they didn't, you know, have a win to show for it?
Absolutely. Confidence is huge. And, you know, that first game, I think there was some nerves. So there was a lot of guys getting their first minutes for CIML basketball and then, you know, just gaining confidence with each performance for sure.
Well, like I mentioned a minute ago, you guys then earned your first win with the 18-point victory over Valley right before Christmas. You know, that had to give you guys a huge boost going into the break. Did it feel like, you know, there was a weight lifted off your shoulders to get that first win?
Yeah, it did a little bit. We knew we had it in us. It was just all a matter of, you know, kind of finishing a game and being able to put an opponent away, and we were finally able to do it.
Well, you guys took a 5-point lead into the fourth quarter, and then you outscored Valley by 21-8 margin over the last 8 minutes to pull away. So your defense down the stretch was obviously a key to the win. Your team has now allowed just 44.3 points a game over the last 3 contests. So you think that is kind of becoming, you know, the identity of this team?
Yeah, for sure. We've been real pleased with how our guys are locking into defensive game plans and being able to go out and execute and play with toughness. So yeah, that's definitely something we can hang our hat on is our defense.
Let's talk about some of the individual players for a bit. The guy sitting here with us today leads your team in scoring, and I'll be talking to him here in a few minutes. But what can you say about the way Keaton Casper Bauer stepped up this year?
Yeah, just so impressive with what Keaton's done so far as a sophomore. And, you know, we just love how he's, you know, as a sophomore, how he stepped up as a leader, you know, both with verbally as a leader, but just, you know, how he leads by example as well. He's been very impressive so far.
Well, this is a really young team because you have just four seniors, and the lone senior starter is guard Colby Becken. And I know he hasn't been a huge scorer for you, but he does lead the team with 10 assists, and he had 6 points and four rebounds in the win over Valley. You know, he's been kind of a glue guy for you, hasn't he?
Yes, absolutely. We think he's got the best motor in the entire league, you know, and so he leads our energy, and we have a lot of guys who, you know, feed off of how KB plays.
Your other starters have been juniors Drew Hansen, Hunter Runchy, and Luke Mitchell. Runchy went 8 of 8 at the free throw line, had 11 points in the win over Valley. Hansen contributed 8 points and 7 rebounds, and Mitchell added 7 points and 3 boards. For the season, Runchy's averaging 9.2 points a game, and Mitchell leads the team in rebounding at 5.4 a game. And he's also played a team high in minutes, 122. So those guys have all settled into their roles too, haven't they?
They have, and they're gaining confidence every night, and we know what they're capable of. And, we're getting there. Like, their confidence is growing every night.
I also wanted to mention a couple of guys, you know, coming off the bench. Sophomore Trey Crawford provided a big spark in the win over Valley with 10 points. And senior Brody Prills, they've given you a lot of good minutes, you know, all season. And I'm sure you'll be counting on those two guys as well, you know, as maybe some others to play some big roles for you going forward, won't you?
Oh, for sure. It was nice to see Trey get some buckets and get a little confidence going. And then, yeah, Brody's been a great leader for us as well. Both of those two have had great, great Christmas break practices. And, yeah, expect big things out of those two.
Let's look ahead now. You guys will face another big challenge on Friday when Waukee comes to town. The Warriors are off to a 5-2 start, having lost only to Northwest and Dowling. You know, this is a really talented team too, isn't it?
They are talented, but we are very excited for Friday.
Waukee has a really balanced attack as all five starters are averaging in double figures. Evan Jacobson leads the way with a 14-point average, but sophomore Pete Craig has also emerged as a big threat. He had a 21-point, 18-rebound performance in their win at Ankeny on December 12th. So you really can't focus on just one or two guys, can you?
You can't. They're very balanced. You know, five starters all in averaging double digits scoring. So you can't focus on one for sure. There's a lot of ways they can get you.
Now, when you look at the conference race, you know, you've got Northwest and Dowling at the top with undefeated records, and every other team in the league has at least two losses. And of course, you've seen both the Wolves and the Maroons. Do you feel like those two teams have kind of separated themselves from the pack at this point, or is it too early to think that the conference race is down to a two-team battle?
I wouldn't say it's down to a two-team battle, but they have separated themselves with the way they've consistently been able to put games away. You know, it takes veterans, and they've got plenty of them that, you know, we're able to put games away in big moments, and that's what you have to do in the CIML.
Well, after Friday's game, you guys will hit the road for back-to-back games at Southeast Polk and Johnston. I saw the Rams pretty much dismantle Ankeny back on December 16th, so that's a talented team. And I know Johnston is currently on a 5-game losing skid, but they've had some close losses, and they played Northwest as tough as anybody. And I believe they're supposed to get one of their best players, Tino Day, back after the break. You know, in your conference schedule after that is a string of rematches against Ankeny, Northwest, Urbandale, and Dowling. So it's not getting easier, is it?
No, we try not to look down the schedule at all. You know, you try to just focus on the next one, next opponent, because it's tough out there. Everybody's good. But, you know, we're excited for the opportunity Friday to go at Waukee.
Well, it makes it easy to focus on one game at a time, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, you have to. You know, you have to, for sure.
Well, hey, Coach, thanks for coming in today. I appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the way.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You bet. All right, well, my final guest today is a sophomore guard for the Jaguars, and he leads the team in scoring with an average of 12.4 points a game. He also leads the squad with 10 three-point goals while shooting 45.5% from behind the arc. He's Keaton Casper Bauer. Keaton, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Well, I know a 1-4 record still isn't very pretty when you look at it, but like we talked with Coach, you know, coming off that difficult opening schedule and getting your first win against Valley, do you feel like this team is headed in the right direction?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think all of our guys, we don't look at our and think that we're 1-4 team. Like, we feel like we're a lot better than that, and we think that we can compete with some of the best teams in the state.
Where do you think this team is showing the most growth, you know, from that first game at Northwest to the one against Valley?
I think just offensively, we've gained a lot more trust in not only our teammates, but in each other, just, trusting that everyone's going to make a shot and knowing that if you have an open look that you can hit it, and everyone knows that we're all capable of scoring the ball.
Well, we talked with Coach about your team's defensive effort in the last three games. I don't know if you guys, you know, set a goal for each game to only allow a certain amount of points, but if you can continue to give up just 44 points a night, you got to believe that you're going to win, you know, quite a few games, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Our defense keeps us in a lot of these games, and it gives us a chance no matter if we're having a good shooting game or a bad shooting game. And I think I really do love how we give all of our effort on defense. I think that's a big part of why we've shown so much growth from the start of the season.
And then offensively, you scored 20 of your team's 42 points in the loss to Dowling on December 9th, and then you had a career-high 21 against Valley. So you've averaged 16.3 points a game over the last three contests. I know you're only a sophomore, but do you feel like you could become the go-to scorer for this team when you guys need a basket? Is that a role that you're comfortable with?
I mean, yeah, I'm comfortable with it, but that's something that I'm focused on. I'm kind of just more focused on making everyone else around me better and trying to be the best teammate that I can be and help my team win games, no matter if that's scoring the ball or if someone's got the high hand, taking the backseat role and just playing defense and doing what I need to do.
Of course, you got your first taste of varsity experience a year ago when you played in 20 games as a freshman. You averaged a couple of points a game. That team obviously had a tough year, but do you think getting that experience really benefited you heading into your sophomore year?
Yeah, and there were a lot of ups and downs in that year, and I think it showed me how to ride the wave of a varsity basketball season, and I think that's helped me control my emotions when I've had bad games, and just knowing that stuff like that's going to happen, you're not going to hit every shot. And I think that last year really helped me be prepared for that.
Well, in that loss at Urbandale on December 12th, you had a chance to send the game to overtime when you got the ball in the final seconds with your team down by three. You shot a deep three-pointer from well behind the arc that bounced off the rim as time expired. Now, it wasn't what I would call a great look at the basket, but I thought I had a shot to maybe go in when you put it up. Did you think it had a shot to go in?
Oh, I was confident. I really did think that I could knock it down, and I've thought about that shot many times since, and it's one of those I wish I could have back.
I imagine you'll have another chance someday for a game, a shot like that. So, mm-hmm. Well, I know you guys just had a scrimmage down at Pelda today. How did that go?
Oh, it was good. I think we learned a lot, and it was good to stop competing against each other and finally go out there and show the work that we've been working on finally after break.
Now, what have you guys been focusing mostly on over the break?
Just offensive consistency and really setting physical screens and being in tune with our like fundamentals on offense and just run through our plays and getting new looks that we believe can work for us.
Well, we talked to the coach about your upcoming game against Waukee on Friday. What do you think will be the keys to that game for you guys?
I think the keys is just staying composed. They're obviously a really good team, and I think we got to limit their runs, and we got to just stay true to what we are, try and limit the possessions, stay aggressive on defense, and just keep on looking for good shots and not getting rattled by their length and their experience.
Well, I mentioned Pete Craig earlier, and he obviously had a nice season last year as a freshman. You guys are in the same class, so I assume you've been playing against him for a long time. Do you think you'll be matched up against him some on Friday?
Oh, yeah, I bet. We've had a lot of battles. I played together, played against him. You know, I know him really well. We're really good friends. I'm excited to see him again this year.
Well, we talked with Coach about how difficult your schedule will continue to be over the next few weeks as well. You know, you guys just don't have any easy games, especially in conference play. Does that kind of make it easier to focus on just one game at a time because you really can't afford to overlook anybody?
Yeah, everyone that we play is going to be a good competition, and there's no nights off really in this league. And I think it does help just focus on one opponent and really focus on trying to get that next win.
I'm sure a lot of teams, you know, go into a season with the goal of winning their conference and potentially making it to the state tournament. But, you know, considering, you know, how young your team is and the fact that the program, you know, did undergo a coaching change in the offseason, I'm guessing maybe you guys have tried to focus on the short-term goals, you know, like trying just to get better, you know, each and every other day. Have you talked, you know, much about the big picture goals, the long-term goals?
I mean, no. I feel like a lot of our guys are more focused on just winning the next game, winning the week. And I think as long as we keep on doing that with the growth that we've shown, I really do believe that we can make a run and prove a lot of people wrong from, you know, what they think that Centennial basketball is after last year.
All right, Keith. Well, thanks a lot for coming in today. I appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. All right, MJ Properties is also a sponsor of the podcast and the title sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic as well. We appreciate their support. You've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When it comes to real estate, experience matters. At Legacy Realty, we pride ourselves on having one of the largest and most experienced teams in Ankeny with over 75 agents strong. As one of the top brokerages in the metro, our local agents bring unparalleled knowledge of the market to help you make the best decisions for your home sale or purchase. Whether you're buying your first home, upgrading, or looking to sell, our team is ready to provide expert guidance every step of the way. Backed by the national strength of LPT Realty, we offer cutting-edge tools and marketing strategies to ensure your success. Legacy Realty of Iowa, your trusted partner for buying or selling in Central Iowa. I want to thank my guests again for coming in today from Ankeny Christian Academy. We had boys basketball coach Jay Neihart and sophomore guard Cade Clarkson. And from Ankeny Centennial, we had head boys basketball coach Matt Delger and sophomore Keaton Kasperbauer. I really appreciate the time from those folks, along with Rhonda Dix from Legacy Realty. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.